So we are continuing our series on Back to Basics, and prayer is the one that's, you know, when God says something and then he keeps saying it, he goes somewhere else, he goes to the other side of the world, Africa, and God's saying the same thing. It's one of those. So I'm going, okay, God, I've got it. I'm hearing it. I'm taking it on board. And so this morning we're going to talk about prayer life. And somebody you might get challenged over the years if you've been discipled by anyone, or just chatting, you, how's your prayer life? And just want to focus on the idea that prayer is life. It is life. And so that's kind of the starting point. Well, I mentioned we were in Africa, and just really impacted by the Africans and how they pray. And it's very humbling and challenging. Again, just felt like all the UK guys out there are all saying the same thing. Like, they are amazing at praying. They spend a long time praying. They persevere. They don't get tired quickly. And it's a bit of a culture shock coming back here, because we do what we do, and that's fine. But actually, there's a challenge that for me that they carry something that we go, I see that, I want some of it. How do I get it? Before I carry on, I'm just going to go for a little walk. Actually, I might need my notes. No, don't get carried away, please. This is partly to fulfill a bit of a challenge to be the first one up here to preach. I'm going to be up for about 30 seconds and I'm coming back down again. But actually, I want to use this as a visual aid. This morning, there was no one better than anyone else. Anyone up the front is no better than anybody else. I have the joy, most of the time, honour, privilege of being able to lead the church, and people that have the privilege to stand at the front and preach and lead, that's a privilege. But there's no one better than anyone else. And the only reason I would want to use this is so you could see me better, or so you could hear better. So there's no place for a stage, because we're all in the same boat. All right, and that's the context I want to start from this morning. So turn to your neighbour and say, you haven't made it yet. I haven't made it yet, no. You can say that. I haven't made it yet, no, you're right, I agree. You're the one that knows best, darling. Anyway, so this morning, just believe that what God's given to me has been shaped by him. And first of all, I'm preaching to myself. And perhaps more to me than anybody else. And we all need to be challenged, encouraged, inspired. So we're going to look at prayer from a few different angles this morning, a bit like a diamond. There's so much about prayer in God's word, and we almost want to turn the diamond round and look at the different facets of that this morning. But there's just a few. We can't do all of them, just a few. That's not what I was expecting. That's what I wanted. Have you seen these before? They're little tools to help you, how to remember to pray, what to pray for, those sort of things. And as one thing that sticks in my mind, so these are all different, there's hundreds more like this, but the one that I remember growing up is the one that has self as a little finger. And the idea was that you go round your hand remembering, and you do the little one last because you're the least important, almost like a selfless type of way of praying. But do you know what? I found that I've turned that on its head. because I need to start praying for myself first before I can do anything else. I've got to do that. And it's about asking God, Holy Spirit, help me to pray. Here's a book I've been reading. I've read it or dipped into it before, but re-going through it, it's an amazing book. If you haven't read it or know about this guy, he's caught something about prayer. Have a read. This is what he says. The true Christian does not pray to stir himself up, but his prayer is the stirring up of himself to take hold of God. Actually, I've got to start by praying for myself to get myself in the right place. We did a series on identity, and that still remains with me, and a lot of people still mention it. It's something that I think we got inside us somehow and realised afresh who we are in God. And it wasn't that long ago. And there's something about when we start praying, declaring to ourselves, declaring to the enemy, that we are sons and daughters. We are not citizens of here, but citizens of heaven. Declaring back to God, I can approach your throne with boldness because of what you've done. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And there's that sense, as we say those things, as we start praying, our minds start to believe it. They start to be changed, and that's called renewing. And I have to start with that place to remind myself. And there's a sense that if we remember that we're sons coming to a father, rather than somebody who's a hired servant type of thing, if we really believe we carry the inheritance of what Jesus has, if we're co-heirs with Christ, actually what we can ask of God is all that is in heaven. Our inheritance is in heaven. So if we understand we are children of God, sons of God, heirs, then we can claim that right to ask whatever God has is ours. Just let that sink in for a minute. And that needs a bit of a brain transplant to understand that. But actually, the same inheritance that Christ gets is the same as us. It's what we get as well. And just trying to let that sink in. And starting, if we start from that point of view, going, okay, I'm your son. I'm in your family. I can come to you and ask for whatever I want. And your word says that. And sometimes either we don't believe it, or there's an element of our will and God's will not lining up. There's lots of reasons why God wouldn't answer our prayers, but we're not going to go into that today. So identity, starting from the right place. Prayer, monologue or dialogue? I'm not sure we can separate our thinking, our petitions, our thanksgiving to God from his then response. If we box prayer into something we just do or say to God, I think we limit what prayer is. Yes, God doesn't pray to us; he talks to us. But actually, if we don't expect a response, then there's a dynamic missing. So when we come to pray and ask God things, there's got to be an inherent expectation of God going to respond or speak or do something with us. Otherwise, we might as well, I don't know, talk to the wall or talk to the telly. Who's good at talking? There we go. Typical. But we're good at talking. I suggest that we're probably not so good at listening. So how, when we pray, how often do we go, okay, now I'm praying this, God, I'm going to sit here and listen to you, God. I think that's harder to do. I wonder if it's a bit like when I go on holiday from work, annual leave, I'm rushing on the last day. It always feels like everything comes in the door. on the Friday before you go on holiday. Always the way. So I'm trying to get everything done, doing my list. And the last thing I do is put my out-of-office auto response on. Do we do that with prayer? Do we send some prayers up to God? And then somehow disconnect and go and put my auto office email on. And then we forget to turn it off. And then next time we come back, we pray for something else. Do we expect to get a reply from God? So just some reminders, just a couple of bits on prayer. Ask. Matthew 7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And John 14 says, and this is Jesus talking to his disciples, I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Wow. So just a reminder, there is an element of if we don't ask, we may not get. So let's continue to ask God. Here's another quote from that writer, E.M. Bounds. There's a couple of quotes because I felt they are really good to read together. So this says, God shapes the world by prayer. The more praying that is in the world, the better the world will be, and the mightier the forces against evil everywhere. Prayer in one phase of its operation is a disinfectant and a preventative. It purifies the air. It destroys the contagion, is that how you say it? Contagion of evil. I know what it is, just can't say it. Here's another one. These are challenging. Reminding they're for me as much as anybody else. When we calmly reflect upon the fact that the progress of our Lord's kingdom is dependent on prayer, it is sad to think that we give so little time to the holy exercise. Everything depends on prayer, and yet we neglect it, not only to our own spiritual hurt, but also to the delay and injury of our Lord's cause upon the earth. The forces of good and evil are contending for the world. If we would pray, we could add to the conquering power of the army of righteousness, and yet our lips are sealed. Our hands hang listlessly by our sides. And by holding back from the prayer chamber, we jeopardize the very cause in which we profess to be deeply interested. Big gulp. As I've been reading some of this book and just thinking about prayer, I've just come to the conclusion, we know prayer is a powerful weapon. I think we know that, don't we? And the enemy will do absolutely everything to stop us praying. That's how powerful it is. Talking about praying isn't praying. Coming to a prayer meeting, talking about what needs praying for, isn't praying. Doing connect group and talking about our lives isn't praying. All those things are good, but actually there's a call to prayer, and that's a challenge. It's a challenge for us. We've got to be ruthless and understand the enemy's tiny distractions and the obvious ones. He doesn't want us to pray because it is so powerful. And I think, you know, this quote here, if we really understood, if we could grasp what that meant, when we get into the place of prayer, we go, wow. And when we see answers to prayer, we go, wow. But there's a disconnect, isn't there? We go, this is what prayer can do, but we're over here, it's half-heartedly engaging in it. I'm talking to me. I'm talking to me. Perhaps it connects with you as well. Do you agree? That's good. I'm talking to the right people. So just a couple of bits I want to focus on. The first one, in everything, by prayer. This is Philippians chapter 4. If you've got your Bibles, you can open your Bibles. It's good to read our Bibles. Sometimes it's good to see where the passage is that we're reading and the context of what it's in. So there's a couple of scriptures we'll read. They're both written by Paul, writing to churches, encouraging them, trying to build them up, helping them. This is Philippians 4 and verse 4 onwards. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, or in some translations you'll have, or everything, in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In everything, by prayer. What is everything? In the Greek, there's no special interpretation. It's everything. So, in praying, what do you leave out of your everything? What do you think needs praying for? What don't you consider that needs praying for? Here's my list of prayers. What might it be? New job. I'm going to give that to you, Lord Jesus. I want the right school for my children. I want to see this person healed. But for some reason, we go over here and we leave a few things, like, actually got an important meeting. I'm stressing about work. I haven't even thought about praying. We were having discussion. It was a discussion. Fiona and I, and we were talking about something, and we were stressing over it. And we were going around it and thinking of what might happen, what might the solution be. And we said, we need to pray about it. And it was like a revelation. These are your church leaders, yes. Yeah, we do need to pray. But sometimes we don't give everything to God in prayer. And there's a reason why God says everything, because he means everything. And as soon as we said, we need to pray about this, there was this sense of peace that came upon us, because we'd aligned ourselves with what God had called us to do, which is to give everything in prayer. And it's a discipline. It's a habit. We get into rubbish habits. And if your child falls over, you probably want to go and run some water over the knee that's been grazed or put a plaster on it. But actually, why wouldn't we pray, Jesus, would you touch my daughter's knee and stop it from hurting? And that may sound trivial, but actually, I can't get away from this word, everything, that God wants us to bring everything to him in prayer. And it could be big, it could be small, but do you know what? God is interested in every single detail, every single worry, and it may be only be worry to you, and you might just push it aside, but actually God wants to know about it. And do you know what? I think it's about us ultimately being dependent on God. He wants us to be dependent on him because he knows what's best for us. Except we're a bit slow to catch on, aren't we? Giving everything to God in prayer says, I'm willing to give it back to you, God. It says, I'm recognizing I don't have all the answers. I can't do it on my own. It also gives us an opportunity to ask for his will to be done and his kingdom to come in that situation. Submitting it back to him. And do you know what? I think it's actually probably bigger than that. It's about our God's restoration process. So mankind started Adam and Eve in the garden, direct communion relationship with God, the Father, in the garden. But we wanted to do our own thing. Independence and pride are biggies. There's a little black box that has saved thousands of marriages across the world. You're looking very serious at me, everybody. That problem's being resolved. And I remember with my wife, me driving, saying, "You need to take the next right," holding out her hand to the left. "I'm driving. I can't see your hand, darling. And I think you've said right when you mean left." And do you know, it may be just, it's the sat-nav. That's the box that saved thousands of marriages. Except you can still have arguments over that as well. However, it may be just me, but I think it's probably men. Sorry, guys. When you're lost, in the days pre-sat-nav, would you stop and ask for directions? No, there we go. Or would you just wear like a badge of honour and say, "I got here by myself without asking anybody or stopping, even though it took me 4 hours longer"? There's a bit of pride there. It's a bit of independence there. And God is trying to make us reliant on him, because he wants that for us. It's the best thing for us. And do you know what? Prayer doesn't change God. It doesn't change him. It doesn't change his character. But it changes us, doesn't it? We can change what God might do. We don't change him, but he changes us. It's the crazy thing. Our dependence is found in God, in his sufficiency. I'm reminded of the Lord's Prayer, or really it's our prayer, given by Jesus, which says, "Give us this day our daily bread." And this part is partly aligning ourselves with God, recognising him as our provider and our reliance on him. The provision that prayer is asking for is asking for provision given today for today. And as the disciples heard that, they would have remembered the link straight away of the people of Israel after the Exodus getting their manna from heaven, their daily supernatural provision. So when Jesus said, "Pray like this, give us this day our daily bread," the disciples were probably going, "Look, he's made that link there." So in everything, by prayer. So fill in the blank. What else goes in there? In everything, by what do we do, really, in practice? In everything, by family, because family is important. It is. In everything, by having enough money. In everything, by having a meeting. In everything, by compromise. That's probably a very current one in our culture, in our society. In everything, by democracy. Everything. In everything, by prayer. I was listening to Tozer, A.W. Tozer, and he was going a bit crazy on his preach I was listening to online. And he was saying that if we spent less time talking about how long a coffee break might be in a conference and praying, actually we'd spend less time having planning meetings. And do you know what? We've got lots of planning meetings and team meetings and subgroups and different things that happen even in this church, and they are all good good things, but actually, if they take the place of prayer, I think some of our meetings could be far more efficient if actually we committed more things in prayer and gave more time to prayer. And that's not to, and again, looking at myself, and all those things are good, but actually, prayer's got to be up here. It's got to be up here. One other thing that I heard somebody say at the conference was that we can't delegate our praying out to anybody else. Let's have a think about that. I can't pray. I'm going to leave that to somebody else. I'm the singer. I don't do the praying. I do my job over here. Actually, I'll leave that to them. They're good at praying. They can do the praying. We can't do that. We can't do it. We can't do it. It's for each of us. Okay, just the second one I want to pick up on is pray continuously. Why don't we just open your Bibles again. 1 Thessalonians 5. Just where you're finding your slide, your page. I didn't feel ready to speak this morning, and there were loads of reasons why. The last 24 hours has been interesting, including my laptop dying this morning, doing something it's never done before, like the blue screen type of Windows crash graveyard moment. And I'm preparing a preach, doing the last bits this morning on prayer, and I'll try turning it on and off again. Yeah, I know. Didn't work. It was properly not working. And then there was that little whisper saying, "Why don't you pray, James? Why don't you give everything to me in prayer?" So even when you're preparing a preach. So I prayed and left it. I actually laid hands on the laptop, believe it or not. And it started working again, which is unbelievable, and it's been used this morning. But just the sense that over the last 24 hours, there's been a few things which probably I can't share lots of, where it felt like the enemy was giving his hand away, because I felt this message, or highlighting this thing of prayer afresh again, just something God putting in me, was important for us as a church. So I'm hoping you're catching something this morning about the importance of prayer. So Thessalonians says, chapter 5, verse 16, "Rejoice always, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Paul also writes in some of his other letters, very similarly, pray continually, pray without ceasing, pray constantly, never stop praying. And this is a sense of us being called to pray all the time, but also with an inferred element of perseverance and persistence that we carry on doing it. Thessalonians also talks about, "We continually remember you before God." Colossians talks about always thank God. Romans, constantly remember you at all times. And Ephesians, which is probably one of the most famous passages on prayer. And in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And then just one final one. In Timothy, Paul's letters to Timothy, he says, "Night and day I remember you in my prayers." So what does this mean? Do we pray every single minute of every day? I could just imagine that at work, doing my scanning, and no one else speaks to me because I'm speaking to God. I'd probably get the sack, wouldn't you? Well, everyone would get the sack. It's an element of lifestyle. So we can't pray every single second of every day. But actually what Paul's trying to say is you need to build it into your life. This is something that is life. And you need to do it as a habit, as a lifestyle. Sometimes we don't see answers to prayer, do we? There's people around the room which need answers to prayer. And just feel like God keeps saying, okay, but I've called you to be obedient. I've told you to bring everything to me in prayer and to keep on praying. Despite what you may see, despite what may not be happening as quickly as you think or may not happen, the call is to keep on praying. It's an act of obedience. And do you know what? I'm better at connecting with God, probably continually through the day, but actually getting that clear chunk of time with God is harder. It's harder. What about our culture? Praying all the time, praying continuously. I think in our culture we probably expect more instant answers, don't we? We click a button, we've got it. It's delivered. We, I don't know, get an email. We expect action. Sometimes things take a bit longer. I found myself asking when we were away in Kenya, there was a seminar on foundations of the church, and they give you that time in the session where you go, well, you think about your own context and write down some stuff, and everybody goes, oh, do we have to do that? We just want to sit here and listen. It's that classic moment in the conference. But actually it's helpful because it engages you with what they're talking about. And one of the questions I found myself asking is, do we have a praying culture in South Kent Community Church? And the fact that I was asking that question made me think we can do better. And it starts with me. It starts with us as leaders. And if we aren't creating that culture, then there's an element of we can't do it wider than that. I found myself repenting. Yes, repenting's good. I think we need to do that. Continue coming back to God and saying, actually, I've made the wrong choice again, and now I'm going to turn this way and make the right choice. And I need to do better because I know it affects this church. As some of you know, I am a radiographer. I also specialise in reporting brain scans. I felt God say something about this. So on the right, the picture is some arteries that supply the brain from the heart. And for the brain to survive and function, you need oxygen and glucose, sugar. You need those two things. If a blood vessel gets blocked or broken or damaged, that part of the brain that gets its supply from that blood vessel will die. There's two scans here. There's a picture of a brain on the left and there's one on the right. That dark area is where oxygen is not getting to that part of the brain and the cells are dying. I just felt God say, like, prayer is life. If you become disconnected because you are not praying, it will ultimately end in a lack of life. I'm talking to me. I need it. I need to pray. It's life to me because it changes me, but it also moves the hand of God. It's life. We're going to finish, and I don't know how this has landed with you. I don't know whether you're going, well, this is a bit heavy. Whether you're going, we've heard this before. I don't know. I'm asking that the Holy Spirit will speak to each of you about where we're going. And if we want to move on with what God has for us as a church, we've got to pray, and we've got to pray more. So maybe you want to respond. give you a few seconds to do that in a moment. Praying continuously. Do you switch off God during the day? Switching back on the Sunday or another time? Section off God. Well, this is the God bit. This is the bit I pray about. It's over here. But actually, the everyday lifestyle of prayer is something that I haven't grasped. I think we can all do this one better. Everything in prayer, not sectioning off parts of what we bring to God, but bringing it all to God. He knows about it anyway, so you might as well bring it to him. Even the small things, but also the big things. Even the big things that you've given up praying for because you don't think it's going to happen. Everything in prayer. And then finally, the four D's. I heard this some years ago as a younger man. Who am I kidding? I'm not a young man. Desire, delight, direction, discipline. When it comes to prayer, where is the gap for you? Perhaps there's more than one gap. Have you got the desire to want to pray? And I think God puts that there. It starts with God. And it starts with being filled with His Holy Spirit as well. Do you enjoy praying? When you get into that place, is there a like, yeah, this is good. Why didn't I come here earlier? Or is it a slog? Is it really hard? And you just don't feel good when you do it. Perhaps you need a touch from the King this morning. Perhaps you don't know what to pray. You don't know how to pray. The direction. I just don't know what to do. I don't know how to. What should I pray for? For me, it's the last one. Because I want to pray. Actually, when I do it, something happens to me and I know it's good for me. And something swells up and goes, yes, I'm enjoying it. And that's God doing that. I know what to pray for. There's not a shortage of things on my list to pray for as a church leader, or as a father, as a husband, all those things. My list is long, and you can have some of my list if you want to. If you're short of direction, I'll give you some of mine. However, the one, and it may be for a lot of us, is actually saying, I am going to, like John was talking about the other week, John Fudge, about looking at a diary. Your diary, your calendar, will tell people a lot. Actually, to schedule in prayer 10:30 to 11. There's nothing wrong with doing that, whenever it is. And that's that whole thing of, actually, if you don't plan to do it, it won't happen. It will never happen. So for me, it's about discipline. I feel like I've got the other stuff, but actually, if I don't decide to do it, it's not going to happen. And so that's where I'm at. I'm going to leave it there and perhaps just give you a minute and I'll ask the band to come up if that's all right. I'm going to respond this morning. There's some post-its over that side. And some pens, and there's some on the little counter just at the back there. You don't have to do this. There's some baskets down here. I wondered whether you wanted to, and I'm sure everybody, as we started off, nobody's made it. But if there's one thing from that list, perhaps it's about a lifestyle of prayer, bringing everything in prayer, or one of the four D's that goes, that's me. And we don't use the word repentance much, do we, from the front? Because actually it's a bit of a, I don't know, it's a weighty word. Perhaps people see it as an old-fashioned word, but actually deciding to go, I've not been doing so well here. but God, I'm sorry, and I'm going to go this way. That doesn't change our standing with Jesus in God, our salvation, our position as sons, and being seen as righteous. Doesn't change, but actually, we still make bad decisions. So you can do a couple of things. You can just respond and worship God. If you feel like you need to do something more than that, make a bit of a stand with God again this morning, and you'll know which ones God's highlighting by His Spirit. Is to write down. Write it down twice. There should be enough paper there. So for me, it's going to be discipline. On a bit of a post-it, I'm going to put it in the basket to say, God, this is my stand today that I'm going to do better, because I know it's life to me. I know it's life for my family. I know it's life for this church. I'm also going to write on a second post-it and take that one away with me and put it somewhere. Phone cases are pretty good, aren't they? You should see a slot somewhere in the phone case, wallet, dashboard, mirror, to remind us. So we're giving one to God, or laying it before God, and we're taking one away. Why don't we stand? I'm going to pray for you, if that's okay. Lord, I want to pray, first of all, that anything that I've said that would come across that is not of you, in any way, a sense of judgment or anything like that that's been perceived, Lord, I'm sorry if that's come across. Father, I want to say thank you that you spoke very clearly to me about this, and just wanting a sense of your Spirit wanting to stir us up afresh with the whole area of prayer, because it is life. It's life to us. It's life to our families. It's life to this church. It's life to our communities. It's life to the person that we haven't spoken to yet. It's life to the people that are coming on journeys. It's life to our neighbours. Lord, if we don't do praying, then we are just a social club. Doing toddler group. Actually, if we don't pray, Lord, if we do kids work out the back, but we don't pray, Father, there's a mismatch. So Lord, there's this tension in us that goes, yes, we want all that your word says. We want to see answers to prayer. But would you do something in us that makes us step into the place where we are committed to seeing out the praying by your Spirit, Lord Jesus? It's not through us, though. It's not because of us. It's because of what you put in us. So Holy Spirit, would you activate something afresh in us? Would you revive something? Would you redig a well of prayer in South Kent Community Church, Lord? And we say thank you for the faithful people that pray before the meeting here on a Sunday morning, that pray in homes during the week, the prayer that goes on that we don't see, the prayer that you honour the most, Lord Jesus. We honour those people. But Lord, may South Kent Community Church be known for a culture of praying, that in everything we bring in prayer. Everything, Lord Jesus. And then when we've brought everything, we bring everything again, because we continue to bring it to you, because that's what you call us to do. So Lord, I repent. I turn around from my thinking, my wrong choices, the choices where I've chosen to watch telly the whole evening instead of spending 10 minutes lifting people to you that need you. Or going for a run, when actually you wanted me to spend some time with you, lifting up people to you. For staying up late and being tired in the morning so I didn't have the energy to pray.